Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
NFL stud, Frosty Rucker.
The Trojans back in front.
And LAFB founder Ryan Zyrud on the Believe Podcast Network and LAFBnetwork.com. This is your destination for Los Angeles football.
What's going on, Los Angeles? Welcome into the LA Football Show presented by the LA Football Network. It's a beautiful Monday. I'm your host, Ryan Dyrer. You can always find us as well on the Believe Podcast Network. Got a good show for you. It's kind of a weird one. Usually Mondays, we dedicate to recapping, the weekend, Chargers and Rams, but we had the Chargers already play Thursday, so we're able to get into that on our Friday show. And now the Rams game has been moved to Tuesday, so we get Tuesday night football tomorrow night. So we get basically a second helping of a preview show. Now, I talked a little bit about a preview for the game on Friday. At that time, as I was recording, the game got moved to Tuesday. So we were kind of anticipating to play, and then it got moved. So it's like, okay, we don't really know what's going to happen, what to expect with what players are going to be available. So now we have a little bit more clarity. There's still some things that can happen in the next 24 hours. Kickoff is basically exactly 24 hours away. So, some other players can come off the list. Some, unfortunately, if things don't go as planned, can go on it. But we'll update you on that little bevy. And then, some players announced for the Pro Bowl for the Rams. The Chargers have some COVID news now. Unfortunately, they did not escape it. All these off days after playing on Thursday. So we'll update you on all that. Another coaching hire for Lincoln Riley's staff at USC. I think it's a pretty good one. So, and then, I've got the noties on. So if something breaks while we're in the middle of the show, I will certainly let you all know as it comes to me. But thank you all for tuning in. This is the LA Football Show, brought to you by our friends at TickPick. If you're still planning to go to the game tomorrow, you haven't got tickets yet. First of all, if you haven't seen, Kevin Demoff, COO of the Rams, has written a formal letter for all of you to give to your bosses at work so that you can leave early to make sure you're down at SoFi repping our Rams to beat these Seahawks. Should be a great game. But if you need a formal letter, an excuse letter, if you will, Kevin Demoff has written that up. You can find it on the Rams Twitter. I've retweeted it. I'll maybe put it in the link below too. So if you need that, you can print that. Obviously, it's more of a joke, but hey, you never know. Maybe sometimes you just need to make your boss laugh. I mean, it's Christmas week. Christmas is 5 days away. You can't get off work early Tuesday before Christmas. Maybe you're working at the wrong company. Maybe you're working for the wrong boss. But yeah, TickPick, tickets. What's great about TickPick, if you don't already know, if you haven't been listening to the show, if you've never heard of them, they are similar to a StubHub or Ticketmaster third-party ticket agency. However, zero fees when you use our link, tickpick.com/LAFB. I will have that listed below, but it's real easy to remember, TickPick.com /LAFB. That's tickpick.com/LAFB. The price you see is the price you get. If you've ever bought tickets from StubHub or Vivid Seats or even Ticketmaster, you see a ticket for $90, you go to the checkout, they slap you with $20 of fees. You end up paying $110. TickPick, you see that ticket for $90, it's $90. $90, that's it. So if you haven't been using TickPick, you need to, and please use our link, tickpick.com/LAFB. Big game tomorrow, Tuesday. We want to pack that house with Rams fans, with the Ramley. So make sure you get your tickets from there, and hopefully we will see you there, as we will have people from the LAFB network, like we do every game, at the stadium, live, hanging out. All right. First off, I want to get into this game getting moved, because a lot of Seahawks fans, and you know, there was three games moved. We had this one. You had the Raiders and Browns game was moved, and the Eagles and I believe Washington. I think that's who's playing, Washington football team and Eagles. So those three games were all moved. And of course, the team that is not having a lot of people on the COVID list, so that being the, at the time, that being the Seattle Seahawks, that being the Raiders who were playing the Browns. And I feel like Washington and Philly both kind of had some stuff. So it wasn't like one was just non-existent and one was getting, you know, this pouring of COVID running through their building. Obviously, the teams that don't have these cases, you know, are going to be a little upset because they are ready to go. You know, they've been prepping. Now when you move games back, it shortens your week for the next game. So it's like, you know, you play these hard games that are, you know, tough on your body, recoup, and now all of a sudden you get pushed back and it gives you less turnaround time. Everyone hates playing the Thursday night games. Well, now it's like you're playing a Thursday night game because you're playing Tuesday and then you got to go again on Sunday as opposed to playing Sunday and having that full week. So I get it. The thing, though, and I try to do a lot of research so I make sure I got this right. Before the season, you know, the NFL, the NFLPA got together to come up with kind of COVID protocols, a COVID plan for the season, because obviously this year was different with having a vaccine, and they've been pushing that hard and making it stringent and highly recommended. They didn't mandate it for players, but essentially made it, if you weren't vaccinated, very difficult to do anything. You know, all their different protocols with, you know, mask wearing and by rule. I think a lot of players kind of have pushed the limits in that, I'm sure, and there's been some reporting on that, but I'm not getting to that. Basically, there was an agreement made. It said, we do not want to cancel any games. We do not want to postpone any games. We want the show to go on as scheduled, and that was an agreement made per the NFL and the NFLPA. Now, there were things in there that said, because I hear like Seahawks fans saying Rams should have to forfeit. Why are we postponing it? They agreed they would have to forfeit if they have a COVID outbreak. Why are we getting punished for being responsible when they're not? First of all, Rams were not being, it's not like these guys are out partying. They played a game in Arizona on Monday Night Football. When they got back home Tuesday, like 19 people were put on the COVID list. It wasn't like they were out. As far as I know, nothing's come out from it, but I highly doubt they were out in Phoenix just, you know, partying till 4 a.m. Again, nothing's come out. Maybe, I don't know, but let's not assume the worst. These things happen. This new, again, research I've done, I don't like talking COVID. I absolutely hate it. I know you guys probably hate listening to it. I cannot wait for a world we don't have to talk about this anymore. I want to mute it on Twitter just because I'm so sick of hearing about it. But if you mute it, I'm not going to even get any NFL news because it's so intertwined with everything I cover. Unfortunately, you kind of have to hear about it. But where was I going with that? Okay, so yeah, I don't think the Rams were being irresponsible. It's just this new variant, this Omicron variant, with the research I've done, is very, very easily spread. Now, luckily, from also research I've done, not on Facebook or Twitter, but actually looking into it and looking at, you know, some doctors' data, some stuff from South Africa, because that seems to be where the first sign of the variant came, it hasn't been as lethal. It's spread much easier, but doesn't seem to affect, especially those vaccinated, harmfully. And with the Rams specifically, almost every player, I think actually McVay said every player that's tested positive has been asymptomatic. So that's great. I mean, that's most thing we want is guys to be healthy. We don't want guys feeling like they're dying and stuff like that. So test positive. So it's spreading. My point is just being, this new thing is spreading very, very fast, spreading easily, but it's not affecting people as like hospitalizations and, you know, putting them down and out. So these guys are ready to play. It's just, unfortunately, per testing, their positives are on the list. So all that being said, the league basically had said at the beginning of the season, we do not want to postpone any games. We do not want to cancel any games. We want the show to go on as possible. The only way a team will forfeit, because again, Seahawks fans crying for the Rams to have to forfeit game this game. The only way a team will have to forfeit is if an outbreak occurs within an organization and it is with all unvaccinated players. Again, how they were pushing vaccines. It was going to be a competitive advantage. Just looking at football in general, not getting into vaccine stuff and data and all that and science, a competitive advantage was given to those vaccinated. That's just a fact. So had this outbreak occur with the Rams, and they at one point had 28 players, I believe, 28 or 29 total on the list at one point. If those had all been unvaccinated players, the Rams would have forfeited this game. But because none of them were unvaccinated, all of them were vaccinated, it was seen as them being responsible, just an unfortunate occurrence in a crazy world that is always changing. And so the league saw that as, you know what, it wasn't irresponsibility, but now we have to look at safety and health. The Rams need to be able to, you know, man a full 53-man team. And we also need to put these players in a position to compete. And if you're calling all these guys up from the street to come play, that's a health issue. They're not in the organization. You could see a lot of guys getting injured. So aside from the actual guys in the COVID protocol, they have to look at the safety of these new players coming up to actually play in this game. So it wasn't because of a competitive disadvantage. It was truly for health and safety. Now, a lot of people will get into just the money machine and, you know, the NFL, all they care about is the money. And yeah, you know, sure, it's a business. It's probably one of the most successful businesses in the world. So I would not deny that. That's obviously maybe the most important thing to them. But there is a degree of, yes, there was health and safety put into this decision-making. And so that was why, in my opinion, this game was actually moved. The sense that the agreement before the year of forfeiture was only due to unvaccinated players. So that didn't happen. So that's why this game was not forfeited. Not that any Seahawks fans, I'm sure, listen to this, but that's why. And then because of health and safety, because of having so many guys on the list and calling up people that have not been playing, that are probably not NFL ready right now, throwing them into a playoff-like atmosphere game is a health and safety issue. So that's why it was pushed to now Tuesday, tomorrow. I know for the Rams, this is great because they were going to be fielding an interesting team. I mean, you're missing guys, Odell Beckham Jr., Jalen Ramsey, Rob Havenstein, Tyler Higbee, Jordan Fuller, like a lot of Troy Reader, a lot of starters against a Seahawks team that's playing for their life right now to make the playoffs. They need to win out. They have 8 losses. They go 9-8. I still don't think that'll be good enough, but it'll at least give themselves a shot. They're not mathematically out. So they're playing for their playoff. Every game for them is a playoff game. And the Rams would love nothing more than to end that when they play them this week, and now they get that chance on Tuesday. So little just COVID update on the players currently. Again, we'll try to update you as stuff comes out. Again, I'm getting updates as we're doing this, so trying to keep everyone updated. As of now, when you look at the Rams list, still on it. And again, I think they get tested again today, or probably already tested at this point at 5 o'clock, but maybe it just hasn't been announced yet. So any update that happens after I'm done recording, I will update in the description, or you can just go to LAFBNetwork.com for all your updates there, LAFB Network Twitter as well. So currently still on the list as far as starters. I think there's still 18 people on the list total. But as far as, not that I'm downplaying anybody else, but you know, the guys that are starting, Von Miller, Jordan Fuller, Rob Havenstein, and Tyler Higbee are your starters, as well as Joe Noteboom, who would be starting in place of Rob Havenstein. So that's still a big deal. You have both starting right tackles, or both the starting right tackle and the backup right tackle still on this list. Again, this can, one more test to go. These guys could potentially, some of them, come off that list. Now, activated from the list since last week. Jalen Ramsey, huge. Odell Beckham Jr., huge. Troy Reader. I know Ernest Jones has, you know, taken over as that lead linebacker, but Troy Reader still plays an integral role in this defense, as much as people dislike that. Bobby Evans, who's kind of a swing tackle guard, so that's big for depth. And Tremaine Ingram, who I would presume will get the start at right tackle if Havenstein and Joe Noteboom are both out. Now, Bobby Evans might get that start, but that we saw how that went in preseason. I thought he's played better at guard, but he did play some tackle his rookie year, and I thought played decent. So we'll see what they decide there. But you have Evans and Ingram as options, at least, to play that right side if both Havenstein and Noteboom remain out on this COVID list. Now, just released today as well, because usually the league does not make it known about coaches on this list. But currently, again, potentially could change before game time, but currently running backs, coach, and assistant head coach, huge, Thomas Brown, offensive assistant Zach Cromer, will both not be available for tomorrow. So actually, no, that's official, not available. That cannot change. Or can it change? There's the Rams tweeted this out. Said currently, well, not okay. So as it stands, they're not available, but it can change. If they are not available, so if they do remain in the protocol, then assistant quarterback coach Zach Robinson will assume duties of Coach Brown, and offensive assistant Nick Jones will take on responsibilities for Coach Cromer. So notable as well. I mean, very fortunate, obviously, not Sean McVay, not Raheem Morris, not Kevin O'Connell. So they keep their big three intact, but Thomas Brown has a huge role. I mean, not only with the running backs, obviously. I didn't even mention Daryl Henderson because that happened later, but Daryl Henderson's off that list now. So now you have Henderson back with Sony Michel. They just upgraded Jake Funk, which is shocking. Everyone thought his injury was season injury ending. He has been activated. So now you have three backs back, and Thomas Brown is integral in that rotation. How that looks. And we've seen Sony Michel kind of seize that role and become great in the starting line for these last 2 weeks. But now it's going to be up to Kevin O'Connell and the other coaching staff to decide how that rotation is going to look. I know everyone talks about Sean McVay in the running game, but when it comes to specific personnel going into games, that's the assistant's job, typically. I mean, they talk throughout the week, obviously, but on the fly, Thomas Brown is the guy saying, okay, you're in right now. It's not usually Sean McVay saying, for this play, I need Sony. For this play, I need Daryl. The position coaches are the ones that put in their personnel based on what the game is doing, based on how the play calls are going. Obviously, Sean can overturn that, Coach McVay, but you don't see that in a 40-second play clock, that much stuff happen. Usually, he relays the play to Matthew Stafford. Position guys handle substitutions. So Thomas Brown being out, that could be a big deal. So we'll see how that goes and how that rotation will look this week as they go up against the Seahawks team. Luckily, the Seahawks team doesn't have a very good defense, which we're going to get into. Now, the Seahawks COVID list, I believe before the cancellation, Lockett was the only big name on it. But they've added some names to it now. Starting corner DJ Reed and starting right tackle Brandon Shell. Also running back Alex Collins. And then Tyler Lockett, like I mentioned. So four key starters on their list who at this point are still on it and in jeopardy of missing tomorrow's game. Now, Rashad Penny, first-round pick formerly of San Diego State, shout out Mountain West, finally had his coming out party last week against the Texans with the expanded role. Can't seem to keep running backs healthy in that Seahawks backfield. But will he continue that success? Because that's been his big thing in his career, early career thus far, that consistency. We know the talent's there. We saw what he did at San Diego State, breaking many, many records. I think some of them have been broken since. But at the time, he broke the record for like most rushing yards in a collegiate career. Touchdowns was way up there. Talented runner. A bowling ball-like runner that can break tackles with the best of them. Just hasn't been able to stay healthy. So far this year, 43 rushes, 215 yards, and two touchdowns. But like I said, just last week against the Texans, came 16 of those rushes for 137 yards and both those two touchdowns. So big game last week, albeit against the Texans, but he will be the guy the Rams will be honing in on to stop this offense. Now, Russell Wilson, everyone knows my thoughts on Russell Wilson. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. I would probably put him top five, what he's been able to do. You know, since his injury, hasn't got back full to form, which is to be expected. You know, broke a finger on his throwing hand. There's going to be some things off there. But he's starting to get back into form, and so he obviously is the he's the magic man. He's what makes the offense go. But if you're able to make the Seahawks one-dimensional and force Russell Wilson to be the entire offense, they haven't had that same success in his career. Like Matthew Stafford, like just about every quarterback in the NFL, your job's a lot easier when your running game is working. Like, there's literally not many quarterbacks out there that have success with zero running game. Pat Mahomes is better when his running game is clipping. Tom Brady is better. Everyone looks at those QBs as these sling-it-all quarterbacks. If you really get into the stats, they've always had pretty solid running games. Maybe not star backs, but efficient running games. And so the Seahawks, I know everyone talks about that's what their bread and butter is running. It really hasn't been that good since Marshawn Lynch left, just because they haven't had consistency. Chris Carson is a phenomenal back. Can't stay healthy. Took Rashad Penny in the first round. Can't stay healthy. DJ Dallas had a few fun games. Can't stay healthy. They got Alex Collins. He can't stay healthy. He's on the COVID list now. So the Rams, if they can shut down, and Ernest Jones is the guy I'm looking at in this one, how well he's played so far since he's really taken over the lead snaps, the linebacker position. If he can continue that onslaught and that great play and really be that GPS to the football that he is and shut down Rashad Penny, then I like the odds for the Rams, especially with getting Jalen Ramsey back. Because one of my favorite matchups in all of football, it's a young matchup, but it's one of the best, and it's Jalen Ramsey against DK Metcalf. And Jalen Ramsey has shut down DK Metcalf every time he has lined up against him. And after missing last week, getting back out here, Ramsey's set to do it again. And with no Tyler Lockett, if he remains in the protocol, if Ernest Jones, Greg Gaines, Aaron Donald shut down Rashad Penny in the running game, and we know Jalen Ramsey's going to shut down DK Metcalf, then what the hell does the Seahawks offense have? Gerald Everett. That, how's that for poetic justice? Their last option, essentially, is former Ram Gerald Everett, who they've been utilizing a lot. He's had a fairly good year for this team. So this will be a big thing for this secondary, whether it's, again, I don't want to see any of our linebackers in coverage. I talked about this a lot at the Arizona preview. Who was going to cover Zach Ertz? And I did not want it to be a linebacker. Ernest Jones, as great as he's been, you know, last week in coverage, I think six passes his way, six completions. Dude has been special in the run game. He's got those two picks. He's a great linebacker. He's just not a great coverage linebacker, which is not what he's built to do. Didn't do great last week, so I don't want him. That's just not what we want him to do. We do not want him. We don't want Troy Reader to do that. That's why we have six safeties on the active roster. Granted, Fuller, obviously, like I said, in the protocol. But whether you have Nick Scott or Phil Burgess or Juju Hughes or one of these other guys guarding Gerald Everett, that's what we want to see. So you got Ramsey and Lockett. That's the matchup. That's the premier fun that everyone talks about. It's been Ramsey's show since DK's been in the league. If Lockett's out, if Jordan Fuller's out, then who will we see? I would assume it'll be either Nick Scott or Terrell Burgess on Everett. Let Rapp still be kind of the rover, the in-the-box safety that, you know, sniffs out the run game. And then I like this defense to do special things. Aaron Donald, Justin Hollins, Leonard Floyd. do some special things. Great gains. Great gains. And this will be, I know. His first game as a starter. It is at home. It is here in LA. But as a starter against Seattle, where he went to college, UW, University of Washington. So that point was a little more significant if they were playing up in Washington, but still, I'm sure that was a team that maybe he followed growing up, or certainly when he was in college playing just down the road at the University of Washington. But now he will be the official starter against this team, because last in week five or whatever, Sebastian Joseph Day was still healthy. So expect him in a big game. Offensively, I mean, let's just give you the numbers here. Seattle, according to Pro Football Focus, is 29th overall with a 72.9 grade offensively. They're 20th, 72.7 grade, and they're going to be missing players. And defensively, they are 22nd with a 63.6 grade. When it comes to just yards given up per game, they are dead last in the NFL, giving up 394.9 yards per game. That is bad, ladies and gentlemen. That is bad. If you're an NFL football team giving up nearly 400 yards per game, you're not a good defense. You're not a good defense. The Buffalo Bills, who are first, are giving up 287, nearly, or not nearly, more than 100 yards less per game. That's a full football field less. The Rams give up 347, 50 yards less. Five first downs, one explosive play. To some listening, that might not sound like a ton, but that is a lot. Five first downs, one explosive play, half a football field. Seattle defense is not a good defense this year. They haven't been for a little while, actually. So if the Rams offense can get that right tackle figured out, whether it's Ankrum, because at this point, let's assume Havenstein and Open are both out. Fingers crossed. Let's hope they get back last minute. Let's assume they're both out. So whether it's Ankrins or Evans, let's see how they fill in. You know, it reminds me of, you know, the Chargers last week missing Rashawn Slater. Trey Pipkins fills in at left tackle and absolutely kills it. Chargers offensive line played one of their best games of the season, missing arguably their best offensive lineman. So, you know, it's a league of opportunity. So let's see how Ankrum and Bobby Evans do. But if they get that figured out, and now you have this rotation of running backs with Hendo back, with Jake Funk back, I doubt he'll see much time, but, you know, he's an option. But being able to utilize Hendo in that true change of pace back, like I talked about last episode, not having to be the integral part carrying the rock, keep the Sonny Michel show going with 18-plus, 20-plus carries a game. Give Hendo 5 to 6. That puts you at that 26 to 28 carry range, which is the exact spot the Rams want to be in. Allows Matthew Stafford to keep his passes under 30 attempts per game. That keeps this offense rolling, man. That's what you want to see. And against this defense that gives up almost 400 yards per game, there's no reason Matt Stafford shouldn't solidify his MVP talk. Zero reason. No reason why Cooper Kupp shouldn't continue to get in that conversation, which unrightfully he's not. If we're going to talk about Jonathan Franklin, running back for the Colts, and we're going to finally potentially give this award to a non-QB position, Cooper Kupp absolutely needs to be in that conversation. Now, the league's not ready, and they're not going to give it to anyone that's not a QB, unfortunately. It just won't happen. A, by definition, most valuable player. I mean, you go from an Aaron Rodgers to a Jordan Love, the Packers aren't even a playoff team. You go from Matthew Stafford to John Wolford, Rams aren't a playoff team. So, I get it why it always is a quarterback because of how much they truly mean. But Cooper Kupp deserves to be in that conversation because this offense goes through his production. And when you got to have it, when you need to have a play, Cooper Kupp makes that play. Third in the league in yards after catch. So he's not just catching and going down. He's making plays happen with the football when it's in his hands after he catches it. Special player. I was on a Seahawks podcast a few days ago. My good buddies, Brett Davern, and the great USC Trojan legend, also a Seahawks legend, but Lofa Tatupu, they do a Seahawks podcast. They've been on our show a few times, but I was on theirs. And I'm going to call them out right now. I doubt they're going to listen to this. I'm going to call them out. So end of the show, we were talking about Cooper Kupp. And I was saying right now, he is the best receiver in the league. Right now. I don't think you can argue it. And I was saying, so many people, fans and media alike, when they do these rankings, which, you know, it's all subjective, but it's fun. Why not? That's what we do, right? That's what podcasters, bloggers, even media do. ESPN always has a rankings. Pro Football Focus always has a rankings coming out. Creates engagement, creates something to talk about when there's not a game going on. But when all these lists and rankings are made, a lot of what goes into that look is statistics. And then a lot of it is that physical attributes, those intangibles that are just God-given. Like, you look at DK Metcalf and it's like he was sculpted by God himself out of stone and put on this earth to play football. And that goes into a lot of the mindsets of these rankings. You look at quarterbacks, arm talent is a huge one. Josh Allen, who has turned into a good NFL quarterback, was literally drafted out of Wyoming purely on arm talent. Didn't have production, didn't have consistency, had almost an under 50% completion percentage, didn't have a wins. Like, Wyoming was never like a winning program while he was there. He was literally drafted because he could throw the ball 80 yards. That was it. And they're like, we're going to just take that and hopefully we can build upon it. So when you look at a lot of these rankings, that's what people look at. Size, speed. What's your 40 time? What do you look like at the Underwear Olympics at the Combine? Cooper Kupp doesn't really have that. I mean, he's a strong guy. He's fast enough, but he's not DK Metcalf. He's not Davante Adams. It's not even Keenan Allen. You know, he's a 6 foot, 6'1", 4'6", 40 guy. I've said it before on my show, but I think it bears repeating. And I do not want this to get misconstrued that I am comparing him to this guy at this point in his career. But I think it's worth looking at. The greatest receiver of all time, without question, is Jerry Rice. There might be some people that can argue Randy Moss or Terrell Owens, but I don't think anyone would ever actually put them above him. I think Jerry Rice is the unquestioned GOAT. 6'1", small town school, Mississippi Valley State, 4'6", mid 4'6s in the 40 time. Not an overly great route runner. Production off the charts. When he had to have a play, he made a play. When you needed a guy to get open, he got open. When you need someone with sure hands, he had those sure hands. When the game was on the line, you needed a winner, he was a winner. What's Cooper Kupp? 6'1", 4'6", 40. Solid route runner. Not the fastest guy in the field, but we got to have a play, he'll make a play. When you need a guy to get open, he'll get open. If you want a guy with a high football IQ playing the position, there might not be a better one than Cooper Kupp. So I'm not saying Cooper Kupp is Jerry Rice or can become Jerry Rice. I mean, if he continues on this trajectory, he can with the seasons he's at. If he can put more seasons like this together, yeah, it may actually be a conversation. But at this point, because there's people that only stat watch, which is dangerous because that's dumb. But then there's people that just look at the intangibles. Got to look at the whole picture. When the Rams game is on the line, who's the guy making the play? It's Cooper Kupp. When the Rams need to move the football, who's the guy open on an option route? Cooper Kupp. When the Rams are running the ball 28, 30 times a game, and you got to have that crack block or that block on the outside, Robert Woods is great at it, but who else is making that block? Cooper Kupp. So right now, In 2021, week 15, Cooper Kupp is the best receiver in the NFL. It's not a question, I don't think. Davante Adams has been great. Tyreek Hill has been great. I don't think it's a question. Tyreek Hill has games where he goes off, like against the Chargers. He has games where he finishes with 3 catches for 27 yards. Cooper Kupp is a guy that is involved in the game plan no matter what. You know, it's a fun debate. I wouldn't be disgruntled if someone said, no, I think Davante Adams is better. No, I think Tyreek Hill is better. It's not like that's invalid. Where I stand, though, and based on what he's been able to do, and he's done it with Jared Goff as well. He's having better stats with Matthew Stafford, but it wasn't like he just came out of nowhere. Had a season that he was injured. Other than that, I mean, he's been a pretty productive guy regardless his whole career. Just not to this level we're seeing. Davante Adams has had Aaron Rodgers his whole career. Tyreek Hill's had Patrick Mahomes his whole career. Cooper Kupp's now done with Jared Goff and now Matthew Stafford. Receiver's the big position that is so much relies on your quarterback. And now he gets a little upgrade and we're seeing it expound even more. So, went down a rabbit hole there, but that's just how I feel about Cooper Kupp, what he means to this team. It was just announced today he was elected to the Pro Bowl, rightfully so. I mean, I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. Shouldn't be. The real question will be who gets All-Pro, if it's him or Adams. I think it's a two-man race right now, which won't be decided until after the season. But Cooper Kupp, Pro Bowl, and Aaron Donald, Pro Bowl. Those are your two Rams officially right now elected in the Pro Bowl, rightfully so. I would assume Matthew Stafford will probably end up getting in. You know, he's pretty high in MVP voting right now, or in the conversations at least. You know, all the sports books have him, you know, in the top five of MVP race. So I think when it's all said and done, he'll be one of the NFC quarterbacks in the Pro Bowl as well. That's probably Jalen Ramsey, I would assume, gets in as well. I'm surprised he's not yet, or I don't know how this. I think it's different every year because you get fan voting and then you get the coaches deciding. So I don't know exactly if maybe the whole roster has been announced already, but I don't think so because I haven't heard any Chargers names yet, and I would assume they're going to have at least one or two. So I think we will humor. But as of now, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp are your representatives for the Rams for the 2021-2022 Pro Bowl. So good honor for them. But should be a great game. I highly expect the Rams to win this game. Rams still rank first in Pro Football Focus grading at 92.8. Their offense ranks fourth at 83.2. Defense ranks first. I know people still don't want to hear that, but it's, again, PFF, not the all end-all be-all. Very subjective. But they rank first at an 83.8 grade. The funny thing with PFF, and I notice this a lot on Twitter, is people out there, more so, I'll just say media, you know, bloggers, podcasters, love to use it when it plays into their narrative, and then they love to bash it as they don't know anything when it doesn't. I've always found that kind of funny. It's like if their grading doesn't help the player they like, they'll say, man, what are they doing? What are they looking at? If it does, and they use it as a benchmark, like, oh yeah, look how good. So anyway, I always like to say it's subjective. It's not the end all be all, but it gives you a good benchmark. And they do definitely miss things. Like, I've seen things where I'm like, what are they looking at? Absolutely. But that's how they have it. So I just like to relay the information to you. But should be a good game. Tuesday night football, 4 p.m. Pacific time. A little earlier. So like I said, if you need a note to leave work early, the Rams and COO Kevin Demoff have released one. So go check that out. Get it signed. Bring it to your boss. You know, it's the holiday season. We're 5 days away from Christmas, right? If you don't have tickets yet, tickpick.com/LAFB. Going to get you no fees there. Pick those up today as we get ready for this big one. If you need beer at your tailgate, a lot of people are going to be hanging out down at SoFi. You know, all these great booster clubs that we're trying to get more involved with as well. If any of you are listening, shout out, hit me up. We want to get more involved with you, do some shows with you, promote with you, just hang out with you. But if you're going down there, to tailgate, what better beer to bring with you than Golden Road Brewery? They got the Who's House Golden Ale, Blonde Ale, excuse me. Who's House Blonde Ale. I actually have it right here. Look at that. You can pick that. I have it at Ralph's. You can pick that up at Ralph's, Total Wine, BevMo. It's a delicious, delicious ale. And it's got the Rams logo on it. So bring that with you to tailgate. You can also do one of their cart series, Mango Cart. They got like a watermelon cart. They got a bunch of stuff. So I love the Golden State Mexican lagers. Delightful. If you like a nice light Mexican lager beer. So Golden Road Beer, make sure to pick that up with you. Bring it to the tailgate as we prepare for this game. Before we wrap up the show, quickly, some Chargers news. You know, unfortunately, they did not escape the COVID bug going around right now. They did place Joey Bosa on the list. He is confirmed out, unvaccinated. So because he tested positive, it's an automatic 10-day quarantine. So he is already listed as out for this game. Austin Eckler and Corey Linsley both also put on the COVID list. Both are vaccinated, so both are day-to-day, as they will continue to retest to see if they can come off it. Rashawn Slater was activated from the list, so he is back. So that's good news there. Scott Quessenberry, I believe, still on it. So if Corey Linsley does not get on it, they have a big question mark at the center position. As they don't have any depth there, you're going to be sliding some guy over playing center, which is a big deal, quarterback of the offensive line. So we'll keep you posting all that. Luckily, again, first and foremost is the health of these guys, but just football-related. Luckily, Chargers do play the Texans this weekend, so it is a bit of a gift if they are going to be missing any key players, or they are going to be missing Joey Bosa. At least they're not going up against a playoff caliber team. But it's still the NFL, and you still need to man the best people you can forward in your team if you want a shot to win week in and week out. And, you know, it's unfortunate Joey Bosa missing game. I don't want to get into all that. I know a lot of people have opinions on his decision there and how it hurts the team. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, whatever your thoughts are on the vaccine, it was clear at the beginning of the year that it was a competitive advantage to get vaccinated. So whatever your thoughts are about it, when just looking at football, it was a competitive advantage to get vaccinated, and it could be detrimental to your team if you chose not to. And Joey Bosa chose not to. That's his decision. You know, I don't like getting into guys' decisions on stuff like that. It's their bodies, their choice. But he is out for this game. So, you know, we'll see kind of who's able to slide and take his role. Uchenna Nwosu has played great, but obviously always plays alongside him on the opposite side. Fackrell's on the IR, you know, so he'll be out another week or two. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, if Chris Rumpf starts every snap, if they're going to play heavier on the defensive line, you know, kind of adapt this 3-4 scheme to some more bigger bodies. So we'll keep you posted all week. Back at, they're at practice, I think, right now, currently. So we'll see kind of how that adapt throughout the week. It's just Monday, so we'll see what happens there. But again, center's the big one to watch. Scott Quessenberry still on the list as far as I know, and Corey Linsley just put on it. So that's a big, big deal about how they progress forward on that. So we'll keep you posted there. USC news quick. USC Trojans Lincoln Riley announced today that Josh Hansen, formerly Texas A&M's O-line coach under Jimbo Fisher, is going to be coming to L.A., to South Central, to University of Southern California campus for the same position as offensive line coach, but also to be named the offensive coordinator. You know, I think it's a pretty good hire. Obviously, it's Lincoln Riley's offense. He runs the offense, I believe, does the play calling or will do the play calling. But here's a guy that brings a lot of experience over, brings some recruiting experience. He was prior to joining, you know, Fisher and A&M, he was a tight ends coach and a recruiting coordinator at LSU in 05 and 06. Back then, Jimbo Fisher was the Tigers offensive coordinator. So, you know, he was a recruiting coordinator there when LSU had some top 10 recruiting classes. They won the BCS National Championship in 08 under Les, I believe that was under Les Miles' tenure at the time. But big in recruiting. So I think that's a big get. You keep Dante Williams. You add Josh Hansen. Both these guys, very, very good in the recruiting realm. And then you also get a guy that, you know, was an offensive coordinator for Mizzou as well for 3 seasons. And so it has some experience there being an offensive coordinator. Obviously can hopefully shore up this offensive line as we try to get back to having those big boys, those great important pieces in the trenches that we haven't had over the last few years. So I think he'll be a very big role in that. And then just being able to be out there on the recruiting trail with Dante Williams to really just continue building this great, great class, that just keeps stacking these five-star kids, flipping over. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun as they just added, you know, Damani Jackson, the five-star kid out of Monterey Day, who was decided between Alabama and USC and did just commit to USC. So a big get there with him, Relik Brown, the running back. So, you know, they're just adding pieces. He's going to continue to build his staff out. And I think we'll see this Trojan team be very competitive very quickly. You know, I still think 2023 is probably the real year where they make a push for a national title, for a college football playoff berth. But there's no reason next year where they can't compete for this Pac-12 South. No reason at all. And, you know, they're going to be a young team, very young team. But with Jackson Dart returning, with Corey Foreman and Kalen Bullock returning, I mean, obviously returning, they're all young, but, you know, being kind of the pillars of this team, there's no reason this team can't be competitive and compete for the Pac-12 right off the bat. I just think they're a year away from national contention, but they'll get there. They're building the right. I mean, there's already so much damn excitement down in, you know, in the USC and the SC village already with what Lincoln Riley's done, with the work ethic he's already brought in. And the dude, I feel like, works 24/7. He's on campus hanging out at basketball games. He's in Texas. He's all over the country recruiting. Then he's back at a basketball game on campus, meeting guys. You know, my guy Frosty met him. We were there just, 2 weeks ago now? He was there at Heritage Hall. So a lot of exciting stuff going on there. But I think this is a solid, solid hire for him and his staff as they continue to build that thing out. All right. I think that is going to do it today for the LA Football Podcast. Happy Christmas week. Happy holidays. 5 days from Christmas. I've been teasing it. I have my Dairu Dozen, my top 12 Christmas movies of all time that I'll be dropping on Friday, Christmas Eve, doing a special Christmas Eve Friday show. You know, Christmas is my favorite holiday. I got the Christmas red on right now, as you can see. So we're ready, rock and rolling, ready to go. Excited to keep bringing you great content. Got a lot of exciting stuff going on at the LA Football Network. We got two teams vying for the playoffs here in the Rams and the Chargers. So we still got a lot of stuff to do, a lot of football to talk about. And I couldn't be more thrilled. And with the Super Bowl being here in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium, what better time for you to be involved with the LA Football Network? Make sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts, or if you are on YouTube right now, just hit the subscribe, hit the bell so you're notified whenever I drop shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 5. But also, we got our Charters Unleashed podcast, we got our Rams Brothers podcast, we got our Bruin Bible podcast. We are adding a Salute to Troy podcast with former Trojan Alfred Rowe. We got Brittany McReynolds rocking the Brittany Bets with Friend podcast dedicated to betting. We're launching a Draft in Session podcast dedicated to the NFL draft. We've got the Decide Guys dedicated to fantasy football. We've got it all for you, and we are your destination for Los Angeles football. I'm your host, Ryan Dyer. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy your week. We'll talk to you all on Wednesday. Peace.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.